I want you guys listening up right here, right here. So this clip, I know many of you, how many of you, when you watched this for the first time, cried during that part? I did. I know. It was like such a sad moment in my life to see so many of these superheroes. But then at the end, what I love about the Avengers, guys, we're listening right here. We're not talking to the person next to us. I showed you that knowing that it was going to show us something really important and significant. And here's what I want you to see from that. Guys, are you ready? Right here. At the end of this Marvel's movie, what happens at the end of Infinity War is they give us a last scene of hope, right? There's kind of this last thread of hope. We don't know what that's going to happen. I mean, now most of you do know what happens. But what's really important here is there's this last moment of hope that is left with the Avengers, with us, all of the viewers around the world who have been watching Avengers. We see all of this stuff happen, and the Avengers can't stop Thanos. But at the last clip, we see that there's hope. But what happens is that we have to have patience, right? There's this idea that there's this patience. How many of you guys were so eager to see the next Avengers movie when it came out, right? How many of you guys were like waiting and waiting and waiting, right? Most of you were probably waiting for all of the whole year and a half that it was waiting to come out. Here's what I want you guys to hear from this. The same eagerness that we had to watch that next Avengers is the same eagerness I hope that you can have as we move into this idea of sharing the gospel, sharing who Jesus is, sharing who God is with those around us. Just like our anticipation for what would happen next in the Avengers, we should be eager for God to move in our schools, in our friends' lives, in our homes, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. And the question I want to ask you right now, we shouldn't be on our phones. We shouldn't be talking to our friends. We should be listening right now. The question I have for you is, are you looking for God's work around you, and are you willing to share that work? And so tonight, as we dig in, I want to really pose that question to you. Where is God at around you? And are you choosing to see him and then allow God to move in your life to share who he is with those around you? And as we look into this, we're going to get right into one of the Old Testament books of the Bible. We've been talking about this idea of revival. Revival is when God moves in a specific place at a specific time. And as we approach next week, which is our Westwood Students Party, we are hoping to see God move in a way that is going to be tremendous, in a way that is going to be different from the ways that we've seen him move this year. And we are going to see God's power that he has given us through the Holy Spirit at work. 2 weeks ago, if you were here on Wednesday night, we talked about this principle. The coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives enables and equips us with power to fulfill the Great Commission. Meaning Jesus, before he left earth, the real and historical Jesus that isn't just recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's not just talked about in the Bible, but he is mentioned in other sources throughout history. He's written about by other authors throughout history, and he is also recorded in the history book that you have at school, because Jesus of Nazareth, who died on a cross under Pontius Pilate, was a real person who walked on this earth. And as Christians, as the first disciples, as those people who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus, who saw his miracles, at the end of that, Jesus dies on a cross, but 3 days later, we have what we now celebrate as Easter, when Jesus rose again. When he rose again, he conquered death, and he resurrected, giving us a resurrection for all eternity to be with God forever. And what's so significant about this time is Jesus didn't just resurrect and then go up into heaven. He didn't just resurrect and kind of keep it to himself. Jesus, the first thing he does when he is resurrected, when he comes back to life, is he shares who he is with those around him. In fact, the first people he appears to is women. Women are going to meet with him, or not meet him, but rather to mourn over his tomb where he was buried after his death. And these women meet Jesus, who is alive again. And they're like, oh, who are you? And Jesus is like, don't you recognize me? And the women are like, whoa, this is actually happening. And they go back and they start to tell others about what Jesus is doing, who Jesus is, and that he is alive. And he begins to appear to different people at different times throughout the rest of the New Testament. And this is recorded. And not only that, but guys, I love this quote. Joel used it Easter Sunday. It's by N.T. Wright. The quote is, if Jesus would have never resurrected, we never would have heard of him. Here's the thing. People throughout all of history have been claiming to be the Son of God. People throughout all of history have been claiming to be the Messiah. People throughout all of history have been claiming to be gods, who have claimed to be goddesses, who have claimed to be all powerful over everything. And yet all of these people have died and have been forgotten because there was no resurrection. But with Jesus of Nazareth, he died and then he resurrected, but he appeared and he went around sharing who he was. And the disciples who saw him, those people who saw him, were willing to die on the belief that this Jesus rose again and offers us new life by defeating death. That is why we gather every single week. That is why we have an opportunity to come together. And you know what's so funny is I think that it's so odd, and I remember this being in my own life. When I was younger, specifically in middle school, and especially as I went into high school, I had this fear of sharing what I believed. I had this fear of sharing what I believe because maybe I didn't always understand how to talk about it. I didn't understand how to bring it up. I didn't know how my friends would react to it. I didn't know any of these things. But as I began to get older, I realized that I had something. I had something. I had the gospel. I had life forever with Jesus. Guys, life forever with Jesus. I had that. And I was selfishly keeping it from the people I cared about most. I was selfishly keeping it from my friends. I was selfishly keeping it from sharing it with the people who needed that same opportunity to know the love of God and to know that they can spend eternity with Christ forever. That is the truth that we stand on. And I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know if you're here because, you know what, you grew up in a Christian home. You've been resonating with the stories maybe that have been going on over the past couple of weeks. Maybe you went to church every single week. You know Jesus. You are still growing and you love to follow him. That's awesome. And maybe you're over here on this spectrum and you're like, you know what, this is my first time, or gosh, this is still all new to me and I still don't know what I believe. I hope that tonight, and as you continue to stay involved, you would experience a God who loves you and a God who created all things. And when you look up at those stars at night, and the vastness of the universe, and the vastness of all the things that God created, you're able to look up and say, and yet he knows my name, and he knows the hairs on my head, and he created me so uniquely to be who he chose me to be. There is a God, and I am going to stake my life on the fact that that God is Jesus Christ, who came and he came for us to have eternal life with him. And you have an opportunity to choose that. And guess what? It's not a one-time commitment. It's not a one-time decision. It's an everyday commitment, decision to follow Jesus and to choose to follow him, to turn away from sin in our life, to turn away from the things that will take us away from God and to turn towards God, to repent of those sins and to follow him. And so then the next week, last week, we talked about this idea. If we want revival to happen here and now, we need to turn to God and repent. And together, we prayed a prayer together out loud. And we said, God, forgive us from our wrongdoing. And Lord, as we repent, we're going to turn away from our sin and turn towards God. You remember we did that. We turned together away from the bad things that we do and we turned towards God, knowing that only through the power of God, only through the power of Jesus's resurrection can we have life and life to the fullest. Can we have forgiveness and live a life that reflects God's love to those around us? And tonight, we're going to talk about this. We eagerly ask God to lay repentance on the hearts of our school, but it requires our boldness. If we want to see God move, he requires you to be bold. I remember a song that really hit me hard when I was younger. It was in high school, I think, is when it came out. And then as I was going into college, I can't remember who wrote it right now off the top of my head, but it talked about how, and I shake my fist at heaven and I say, God, why don't you do something about the poverty? Why don't you do something about the bad things in the world? Why don't you do something about all the things that I think are so horrible about what's going on? And God turned to him and he said, I created you. God created you to be bold and to go out and share who he is with those around you. We're going to turn to this book, Habakkuk. Everyone say Habakkuk. Other people always say Habakkuk in the Hebrew. One of the things that we know is that they say like all of the vowels, they say them very like the what is it called? Like the a instead of a, and the instead of you, and the I don't even know how you say o instead of I don't know o, right floss right. So this idea of Habakkuk, everyone say Habakkuk. Okay. What's happening in this period of time, guys, listen up. This is a part of history as well, so I'm going to give you a little history lesson. Here's what's happening. Habakkuk is a prophet that is going through the nation of, he would have been in Judah at the time, because Israel, the nation to the north, I think, yes. Israel was to the north, Judah was to the south, Jerusalem was in Judah. The kingdom split in two. Here's what happened. A group of people came into the nation of Israel and they took it over and they made all of the Israelites their slaves. Remember, this is God's chosen people, the Israelites. They made them their slaves. Here's also what happened. Then another nation takes over them, but then takes over the whole nation of Judah and destroys the temple of God. Here's what's happening right here, guys. The nation of Israel, the people of God, had chosen to turn away from God and live the way that they wanted to live. And God, being rich in mercy, guys, God being rich in mercy, because he had a plan through his people to bring Jesus Christ through the nation of Israel, wasn't going to ruin that, because that was a plan he made before time. And he said, I need to protect these Israelites. But the way that I need to protect them is by allowing the nation of Israel to fall so that I can move through it and they have no excuse that by my power, I am going to do an amazing work to bring all people under heaven and on earth to an understanding of who I am and the gift that I'm giving through Jesus Christ. Habakkuk, after knowing that all of these people are going to get taken over, knowing that Judah and the nation of Israel are going to be taken over, this is what Habakkuk says at the end of telling God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Aren't you still there? Aren't you still the God of your people? And then Habakkuk has this moment where he takes a step back, right? And he gets a little perspective. Sometimes we need a little perspective, amen? He gets a little perspective, and here's what he says. He said, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is the NIV version. I have a different version that I want to read because I think it gives us a better understanding. This is NLT. It says, This is Habakkuk to God. He says, I have heard all about you, Lord. You see, Habakkuk, over the course of history, they had seen God save them from the flood. They had seen God save them from, do you remember the book of Exodus? Save them from the Egyptians and the nation of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years came to be the greatest nation on earth during a whole 150-year time period, maybe longer. Guys, during that time, God was doing a work in his people. Habakkuk says, I know that you did that because we see the evidence of that. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. He knows that God was at work. Remember the parting of the Red Sea? That was a huge part of history because they saw God's power doing that. In this time, this is really important because this applies directly to us. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did years gone by. And in our anger, remember mercy. In this time of our deep need, here's the reality, guys. Your schools, your communities, your friends, your teachers, those that are here in this room, we are in a deep need for Jesus's love to change hearts, to change minds, and to give us a freedom and a life that only God can give us. And sometimes we sit here and we say, how are you going to do that? Or why do you do that? Or why are you the way you are, God? And God looks back at us and he says, don't forget this. I created you. And I want to use you. I created you to do an amazing work, and I've given you gifts and abilities and confidence and the Holy Spirit's power to go out and do something. But something we need is the eyes of Jesus. When we look out across our friends, when we look out across our schools, when we look out across our neighborhoods, when we look out across our communities, are you putting on the eyes of Jesus to see people in their deep need for God's love and his mercy to bring them to a better understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ that, guys, doesn't just change life for eternity, but changes life here and now. It gives us a purpose, it gives us a hope, and it gives us an opportunity to live with grace, love, mercy, kindness, truth, even in the hard times, even when life's difficult. Remember what Josh said? He said, even in those difficult times, I realized that living for Jesus is worth it. It's going to be hard, but it's worth it. I love that. I love that. We eagerly ask God to lay repentance on the hearts of our school. But it requires my boldness. Let's be eager to share. Let's be eager to live differently. Let's be eager to love those around us. And next week, we are going to worship and hear the gospel. And that message is going to be proclaimed. Guys, ladies, it is time to get out of your little bubble. Get uncomfortable and choose to be who God created you to be. Because God said, I created you to go out and to do what I have called you to do. What is holding you back from inviting every one of your friends? Because it's time to get over it. Guys, coming here to MSM, coming here to Westwood Students, I'm going to show you something. I want you to listen to this. It's out of love. Westwood Students isn't just about you. I know. What? It's not just about me? Life doesn't all revolve around me? Guys, Westwood Students isn't just about you. It's about giving every student in your school, in your community, and in your neighborhood, an opportunity to know the love of Jesus. And next week, you have that opportunity. We are going to party. We are going to worship. We are going to have an amazing speaker who is also an amazing artist who does awesome stuff. At 6 o'clock, guys, I want to see you here. And I hope Guys, I hope you hear me say this. I hope you are eager to share that with your friends, this event, because I'm not asking you this time to get out and just like share and tell them the gospel yourself. I want you to do that, and we're going to equip you continually to do that. But this next week, you have an opportunity to invite every single one of your friends, every single person in your community, every single person in your neighborhood to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that maybe they have never heard before. Guys, I was just talking to a student not too long ago who grew up in this community. Listen up. That student right now is in high school. I was talking to them about the way that they found Jesus. And they said to me, you know what? I never heard the gospel or about Jesus and the life that he offered. I never heard about who Jesus was until I came to Westwood for the first time when they were in sixth grade. Guys, you have people around you who have never heard the hope and the freedom of Jesus Christ and the gospel that he has given us. And I know I'm going over time, but what I know for sure is you are called to be bold. And I want you guys right now, close your eyes, bow your head. Close your eyes, bow your head, and listen. I want you to listen. Don't talk or distract the person next to you. I really seriously want you to think, who is it in your life? Who are the people in your sphere of influence that need to come next week to be a part of Westwood Students Party? To, yes, have fun, but more than that, who is it that you know is in deep need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Guys, maybe it's you. Maybe you need to hear that again. Maybe you need to take a moment to worship again. And next week, I want you to be here and I want you to have fun, but I want you to bring people who maybe have never heard the gospel. I want you to bring people in your communities, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, in your friend groups to hear, to be a part of, and to witness what God has done through us and in us. Be bold. Be bold. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Lord, give us power through your Holy Spirit to be bold. Give us eagerness to see the people around us come to know you. And in Jesus' name, amen. God